church, be seated. Youth, be nice over there. It hurts your feelings. Jason, stand up, please. Seriously, stand up. It hurt his feelings. Look at him. Look at how big he is. And somebody hurt his feelings. Lord Jesus. Brother Byron, if you only knew. If you only knew. I will say, now I don't have a ton of experience. I haven't known a ton of police officers, but that's the best one I've ever known. So, and that's not lip service. That's not me trying to, you know, get out of a ticket or anything like that. He's the best one I've ever known. So, I mean that with all of my heart. So, it doesn't happen very much anymore. He's now reserve officer, no longer full-time officer. That's my fault. Now he's a full-time pain in my neck. But, it's good stuff. Lucky 13, sermon number 3, based out of Luke chapter 13. I still think I should have called it Lukey 13, because it's out of Luke. Lukey 13, but we'll call it Lucky 13. This is verses 18 and 19, or where you're going to be in the Bible this morning. And you're instantly, when you hear a word, you're instantly going to think of something different than what I'm talking about today. It's common. It's easy. I did the same thing. So don't rush to judgment when you hear this word, because we're probably not going to be talking about what you think we're going to be talking about when you hear these actually two words. So he was saying, verse 18, "What is the kingdom of God like, and to what shall I compare it?" In verse 19, he says, "It is like a mustard seed," don't rush to judgment, "which a man took and threw him into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for the worship that we just lifted up to you. And God, we pray and believe that it was, as your word calls it, a pleasing aroma. That, Father, you felt our heart, that we were drawing near to you. And God, in by faith, we believe that you were drawing near to us, for your word says it. If we draw near, you draw near. And Father, I pray for anointing, God, upon every eye and every ear in this place, that they would see and they would hear. Not just words on a screen or on a page, but they would see and hear the spiritual things that are there today. And that their heart and mind would be anointed to receive that, and it would be planted in good soil to produce a harvest in due season. God, I thank you that seasons come, Lord. We're ready for a new season. And Lord, anoint me, please, to deliver this message, to be your vessel in this place, God. And I thank you. So I'm going to give you something today, if you want one. You don't have to take one if you don't want one. But I'm going to give you a little jar. And in that little jar is an actual mustard seed. Okay? Some of you may have to hold it out here to see it. I can see it much better this way. Some of you may have to hand it to someone else and let them hold it because your arms aren't long enough for you to be able to see it. It's okay. It's all right. It's not easy to see. They're tiny. I'm going to give these to Duray. Do you mind handing these out, please? You're amazing. Take this home with you if you want. Keep it somewhere as a reminder of sometimes how small things start. Because sometimes things start really, really small. Like really, really small. If you read this verse, it says that took the mustard seed, threw it into his own garden, and it grew and became a tree. Now, I want you to look at that little seed. See, some of y'all are having to do it. It's okay. It's okay. I have to do it. I promise you. It grows and it becomes a tree. Like a plant big enough for birds to build a nest in. Out of that little bitty tiny thing right there, that's hard to see. Like, when I ordered these, of course, Amazon man came. If we move, I feel so sorry for the Amazon man, because I don't know how he's going to find, like, I'm going to have to give, thank you. Thank you, sir. I'm going to have to give special instructions or something on my Amazon account. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that dude's at my house way too much. But I ordered these, and I thought, I'm going to get, you know, I ordered several hundred mustard seeds. And you think, oh, it's going to come in a big package. No, it's this. This is hundreds of mustard seeds. Okay? In fact, I thought for a minute when I opened the package, because I ordered a part for Tammy's car, and these. Makes sense, right? Two things that go together. But I ordered them, and they came in one box. Because they now ask you, is it okay if you wait a day longer and we send them both together? Has it? Because usually when we order something, it comes in like 18 boxes. You know, each thing's got its own box, and they would put this in a box that's like this big. You know, doesn't make any sense, but it's Amazon. They'll figure it out, I guess. Now they seem to have figured it out. So I almost thought that I hadn't gotten them. Because I opened the package and I got the part, but then I had to dig a little bit to find the mustard seeds. They're so tiny. Like, it's hard to imagine that this little thing right here can become such a giant plant, so big that birds can build a nest in it. Out of that. And he's comparing the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Most of us instantly heard mustard seed. We thought faith. We thought move mountain. It's just this message we've heard a million times, right? But he's comparing the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. And I had to really think about this. I had to go to my concordances, or not my concordances, but some commentaries and get some ideas of what was really behind this, what he was really saying when he's comparing the kingdom of God, because I envision the kingdom of God to be a gigantic, like, I think of huge when I think of the kingdom of God. I don't even think in my mind I can really adequately understand how big my mind even thinks that the kingdom of God is. Right? When you read and how Jesus described that in my Father's house, there are many mansions. When you read about streets of gold, when you read about all of these ways that heaven is described and talked about, you think it must be this gigantic place with these huge houses and these huge, amazing streets. And I don't know why, because I don't know that it's ever really described, but I think of beautiful colors, and I think of, you know, fountains, and there's like pillowy clouds everywhere when I think about the kingdom of God. I just get this mental picture, but it's huge. Or to quote a well-known politician, it's huge, right? It's just gigantic. But here, Jesus is talking like it starts like this. Like the kingdom of God started like this. Tiny, little bitty, itty bitty, hard to even fathom that this could be anything of any size or any substance. I don't know how many of you have ever planted a garden. Vegetable garden or flowers or whatever. But I've planted a garden. In fact, when I was a kid, the one summer I remember living with my dad, there were four kids. And so my dad grew up in the country and we had a huge garden, okay? And as a kid, I hated the garden. It was hot. It was hot. It was dirty. There were bugs and snakes and just all kinds of things that I just wasn't the biggest fan of. But I can remember planting, and I can remember planting green beans and corn and all the different things that we planted. And they were all bigger than this. Way, way bigger than this. And like a corn, if you've ever planted corn, you know how tall a stalk of corn can get. Taller than me, taller than Jason. Jason can't even see over the top of some of them. Right? It grows to be huge. But the seeds are, I don't know, 100 times the size of this. So to think that this could grow to be something even bigger than a corn stalk is really hard to fathom. So I just question, God, how in the world is the kingdom of God, this huge thing, this huge place, how in the world is it similar? How in the world does it start off with this tiny little seed the size of a mustard seed? Because the kingdom of God started with one seed, and that was Jesus. Started with that seed. And if you study about Jesus, nothing about Jesus would ever have told you from his birth through his life that he was never seen by just about anyone as anything other than just a normal guy. The least likely. Born in Bethlehem, the least likely place that they would ever expect the king of the world to be born. In a manger, in a stable, in the least likely place you would ever expect the Savior of the world to be born. I mean, nothing about him ever said, hey, this is the king. Everything about him was small and unassuming. Everything about him was unassuming. So when it compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, it's saying the kingdom of God starts out small, but it grows when it's planted. It says he threw it into his own garden. It has to be planted. Jesus had to be planted for the kingdom to grow. He had to be planted. How was he planted? Well, he was placed in the tomb, right? You know, the great thing about a seed is, and maybe you don't realize this, but when a seed is planted in the ground, it essentially dies. And out of that death rises a new plant. So Jesus had to die. He had to. He had to die, but then out of his death, he rose again to be the Savior of all of us. The Savior of the world started off as this tiny little baby, this unassuming, born in a manger, born in a stable, born of Mary, who was nobody. Like everything about him started off small, like this, like the seed, the mustard seed that he's comparing the kingdom of God to be like. Said it started off small, but man, it grows. Man, it's going to grow. And it's going to grow, and it's going to grow, and it's going to become so big, so much bigger than the way it started. So much bigger than the way it started. Some of you maybe have never analyzed the word kingdom, because kingdom is basically a king's domain. It's where a king rules. It's where a king reigns. It's what he is the head over. So when he's talking about the kingdom of God, it's the place that God reigns. It's the place that he has control over, the place that he is the ruler of. And it says that kingdom is going to start off like a mustard seed, but it's going to grow into this huge thing. And it doesn't make any sense. That's the greatest, one of the greatest things to me, because I love things that are different, unique, unusual. I just always have. And I love the fact that the Bible talks about the wisdom of God being foolishness to those who are wise. Like, the smart people think it's silly to believe in God. Your academics, right? College kids every year come from a church home, go to college, and face professors who do everything they can to work against, to try to get them to turn away from the teachings that they've grown up with. It happens in most campuses across the U.S. because the wisdom of God is foolishness to wise men. And this is one of those things, because they look at these things of the Bible and they just don't make any sense. They would read this right here and go, how in the world could the kingdom of God be like a mustard seed? Because the kingdom of God is huge. If you believe in the kingdom of God, it must be huge. And the mustard seed is small. And how in the world would these two things equate? Because in their mind, the wisdom of man says they don't equate. They don't make any sense. That doesn't. How in the world could that possibly be? And he compared it to the mustard seed because of how fast and how big it was going to grow. You got to realize this is Jesus talking. This is before he started really, really converting a whole bunch of people, before the kingdom really started growing, before his death, burial, and resurrection. That was when the kingdom really started. So he's talking about these things in the future tense. He's not saying right now, he's saying in the future tense. It's going to start to grow very rapidly, very quickly. And it's going to grow to be very big, very quickly. And then you go with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 41. For anybody who's unfamiliar, Acts 2 is the moment where they were all in the upper room. And they're all praying together, all of the disciples. There was around 120 in the upper room praying and having church together. And that's the day that we call Pentecost Sunday. It's the day that the mighty rushing wind came, that the cloven tongues of fire came and rested on each of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues. They all began to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the day. That's Acts chapter 2. That's when that happened. And they started off with 120 of them in that upper room. And then verse 41, if you keep reading Acts chapter 2, it said, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. From 120 to 3,000. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty rapid growth to me. In fact, if that were to happen to us today, one, we'd have to have 120. Bless Jesus. Someday, soon and very soon. But we would have, like, that would be, do I have a mathematician? Anybody good with math? 120 to 3,000. How much growth is that? Oh my goodness. That's so much. It's the percentages are unreal. 100% growth would be 240, right? How much growth is that in one day? We got to go to like 15 services if that's us, right? Worship team, they're going to be wore out. I'm going to have lozenges or something to preach that many messages. I don't know. It would be crazy. But that's how quickly it grew. And that's why he equated it to a mustard seed, because it was going to start so small, but it was going to grow so quickly. And it was going to, I love in verse 19, if you go back to verse 19, that it says that birds were going to build their nest and be able to rest on the branches of, see, there's rest. There's rest that will come. In the kingdom, there's a place for us to rest. See, this is something that's just amazing to me, that you take, if you really analyze it, if you really try to understand all that was happening in Acts chapter 2 and all that did happen in Acts chapter 2, you see one of my favorite characters, because he was such a fool and messed things up so many times, is always going to be Peter, because Peter was always the guy that spoke up first and should have said something last. I mean, he never should have been the first guy to talk. He always should have been the last guy to talk, because he was always going to say something foolish and stick his foot in his mouth every time. Like every time with Jesus, he stuck his foot in his mouth. And Jesus had to say those things to him like, "Hey, get behind me, Satan." You know, like, how you feel if you're Peter? I don't know what to do now. You know, Peter just told me to get behind him. What am I supposed to do? Do I get behind him? Do I get behind the last guy? Where do I go? What do I do? I don't know how I feel about even myself now, because Jesus just equated me to Satan. Like, there's nothing good about what Peter would do. Like, he constantly did this to himself. Every time he did it to himself. But then you get to Acts chapter 2 and you see that everything that happens in Acts 2, and the first one to speak up is Peter. When I love it, because everyone around is watching what happens, and people are looking at the disciples and they're going, "Wow, they're drunk because of what's happening." Because it looked like, I mean, I understand with my physical eyes, and if I knew nothing about spiritual or biblical things, I understand why they would look at those guys and call them drunks. Okay? I've been around drunks. It probably didn't sound too dissimilar. I can remember showing up to a family member's house one time, and there was another, a cousin that was there, and he probably started at 12:01 that afternoon, because it had to be noon to get started. And he was trying to talk to me, and I literally could not understand anything he said. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And he's trying to talk to me, and he's laughing, and I'm laughing just because he's laughing, and I can't understand anything he's saying. Like, that's just kind of, that was how they felt about what they saw. And then Peter gets up. And you know the other disciples, the other 119 of them who knew Peter, are kind of going, "Oh no, not Peter." Like, anybody but James, do something. You know, say something. You know they got to be just dreading that Peter's the guy that stands up to say something. But Peter delivered his first sermon ever in that moment. And it was after what Peter said that we get to verse 41. And they're baptizing. And they added 3,000 that day. Sometimes I believe so many of us underestimate what God could do through us. But I want you to think about Peter. I really do want you to think about Peter. Because of who Peter was and because of what Peter did, I want you to think about him and realize, just realize, that God's not always going to use the one who is the prettiest and the smartest and the best. Because sometimes he needs to use somebody like me, who's none of those things. Because sometimes he's going to use somebody who has been through something and done something to show people what the kingdom of God is really like. And I'm grateful for Peter. And though he messed up, He was not willing to allow his mess ups to change his ability to be used by God. Your mess ups don't change your ability to be used by God. In fact, sometimes they speak loudly about what God has the power to do, more so than if he used the prettiest and the best and the smartest. Sometimes he'll even use a dumb guy like me. Praise the Lord. I don't know why. Don't make any sense to me, but sometimes he does. Back to Luke 13, verses 20 and 21. I love this, how these two stories are compared, or how the two are linked, because in verse 20 and 21 it says, and again, this is still Jesus talking, he said, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? He's going to use another comparison. Verse 21, it is like leaven, that's yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leaven. Now, I didn't look up how much a peck was, okay? So I don't have like a peck of flour to show you how much a peck was, or 3 pecks. When I think of a peck, I think of a chicken, because you ever been chased by a chicken? That's just immediately what you think when you think of a peck, because when you've had a chicken going at you, you know, that's instantly what I think. But he hid leaven in 3 pecks of flour. So let's just say you got 3 cups of flour. We'll use cups, okay? Because cups are what most of us are more accustomed to using. So we'll say you got 3 cups of flour, and you take a little bit of yeast and you pour it in there. And then what happens is you work it through the flour, and you pour in the water, and you work it through the dough. And what happens is, you get to the place where you've worked it into the mixture, and suddenly you can't even see where the yeast is anymore. Suddenly it's just all one big mixture. And if you were going to try to pick out the yeast, it would be extremely difficult. Like really, really difficult to find the yeast in the mixture of the flour. Like, okay. There's real life experience here, okay? And it's true. In fact, when I talk about it, Tammy's probably going to start getting a little bit angry again, because she was trying to cook the other night, right? And she said, "Hey, would you hand me?" We're going to make spaghetti, right? Would you hand me a little spaghetti? You know, the spaghetti spoon that's got the hole in the center, and it's got the little spikes on the spoon, right? So I grab one out of the drawer and I hand it to her, and she puts it into the spaghetti because it's boiling, and the spoon just fell apart. It was a plastic one. Literally fell apart. Apparently we need a new one. And little bits of plastic fell into the water with the spaghetti noodles. Okay? All right. Now, suddenly Yosemite Sam showed up in my kitchen. Right? Right? And she gets another spoon with a hole, and she's trying to pick out all the little stuff, and it's like, she finally just gets to the place where she's just like, it just all goes in the sink, you know? Right? She's so mad. And I get it. I understand. I get it. So I finished dinner, and she just cooled off while I finished dinner, right? Brand new noodles, brand new pot, brand new water. But she threw it in the sink because she couldn't get all the little black pieces out. And nobody wants to eat plastic. I mean, nobody I know, at least, wants to eat plastic. There might be some people, but I don't know. They're kind of strange, more stranger than I am. But I think of that story because I think there's no way, like, we would have been there for an hour trying to pick up all the little black pieces off of the noodles and out of the water before it would even think about trying to cook it and serve it. you know, I guess if I didn't like the people that I was going to serve it to, maybe I'll leave the plastic in there. But, it was she and I, and I still like her. So we didn't want to leave the plastic in there. But I just realized that the thing that Jesus is trying to say with this illustration was the kingdom of God should be worked into all of society. So much so that you can't tell which is flour and which is yeast. That means that there should be Christians, there should be believers in every office, in every classroom, in every business, there should be Christians. We should be working our way into every place, every political office, every county building, everywhere we go, we should be working ourselves into the world. Not to be of the world, but to be an influencer of the rest of the world. Because without the yeast in the dough, that dough won't rise. And you'll just have flatbread. And there's a time for flatbread. I don't mind flatbread. But it's harder to make a sandwich with flatbread. It's harder to... I can't imagine, flat banana bread. That just don't make sense. I would prefer to have the dough that rises, the bread that gets bigger and prettier and looks better. And if it looks good, hopefully it's going to taste good. Now, I've had bread that looked good and didn't taste good. I had somebody bake me some bread once, some banana bread. I'll never forget. Baked banana bread, brought it to me, gave it to me. I took a bite, and there wasn't a stitch of sugar in the whole thing. Yeah, I couldn't even do it. I couldn't figure out a way to make it edible at that point. And it just went through the process and just forgot the sugar. Wasted all their time. Had my hopes up. I was so excited to eat some banana bread. But yet, just had to go in the trash. It's a waste. We are called to be in every business, in every store, in every place that we can possibly be, we need to be. Because if the kingdom's going to grow, we have to be places where we can be an influence to help the kingdom grow in every place. Every place. I don't care what the place is. I don't care what the... Well, I do kind of care what the place is. There's a few places that I would think, maybe we're better off outside than inside there. I'm not saying go start looking for a job at dispensaries. I'm just saying, But we can still influence those people. Just maybe not in that business. I don't know how we do it. We got to influence them from outside, not inside there. Last Sunday is a place that I'm praying and by faith believing that we helped the kingdom grow last Sunday. That's it. That's why we did last Sunday. That's why we spent the money on the bounce house. That's why we spent the money on the gifts for the stylist. And that's why we spent the money on the popcorn and everything that we did. The reason we spent that money was to try to do something to help the kingdom grow. Because if we're not trying to help the kingdom grow, I don't know why we're here. I am not a guy that's ever going to look at any church that I ever pastor and say, okay, there's enough. We have enough people. We don't need any more. We've shared the gospel with enough people. We can't do it all. I'm not trying to do it all, but I want to do it until my last breath I want people to know that there is a chance, there's a way for them to get to heaven until my dying breath. I want them to know that God loves them and cares about them and wants them to be a part of the kingdom, that the kingdom's not big enough unless they're in it, that the kingdom will continue to grow, and that it doesn't matter what your past looks like. God loves is way more mindful and way more concerned with your future than he is your past. If you can let the past go, let the past go. God's got a brighter future. I'm going to forever be the guy that's going to be telling people that. And I don't care if they're intoxicated or high when I tell them. They still need to hear it. Because if there's anything they wake up in the next morning and hear or think, I want it to be maybe something that I said to help them realize there's a different way, a better way. We should see the kingdom everywhere. We should be the kingdom everywhere. Everywhere. I don't care where you're going. I don't care what you're doing or who you're doing it with. You need to see the kingdom in whoever you're with and be the kingdom around whoever you're with. We can't be one person in church and another person out there. We got to be the same everywhere. We got to be consistent wherever we go. That way, people... when people hear that you're a member of such and such church, they're not like, whoa, hold on, they go to church? What church they go to? Well, they go, you know, that one. Huh. Who knew? Who knew? John chapter 15, verse 19. And we'll start to close this thing down. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. And I wish that verse were not true, but sometimes it just is. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. Meaning we have to live in the world, but that doesn't mean just because we're in the world that we allow the world to influence us, to get us away from the things that God has for us and the things that God has for us to do, and the things that keep us from being not included into the kingdom, the things that keep us from not being included or called, you know, to be those people that where Jesus even said that when it all comes down, when it all happens, he said, some of you are going to come to me and say, hey, Jesus, I did this for you and I did this for you. And Jesus said, I'm going to look at them. I'm going to say, but I never knew you. Like, you may have done good things, but I didn't know you. And my Bible says the way to get into heaven is through Jesus. Right. So if Jesus says, I didn't even know you, that's because you didn't have a relationship with him, and he's the one that's going to help you get into heaven. Because there's some really tough stuff to read in the Bible, but I was going to tell you that Jesus sits between us and our God. He's the one that sits between us. He's our mediator. That way, if the Lord were to say, but what about that one time he did that one thing, you know, that one thing. Jesus just says, yeah, that's why I did this. That's what that's for. Show the holes in his hands. Show the wound on his side. Because that's why he did all of that. So that you didn't have to be perfect. Because I'm not perfect. Some of y'all have figured that out by now. I'm sorry. I'm not. She's as consistent as she can be. She ain't perfect either. Not yet. I've not even begun to get in trouble yet, Jason. I want you to take your mustard seed home. And if you want to put more mustard seeds in, I've got a package. And you can put three or four in. You take one home and plant it if you want to. I don't care. But I want you to realize and remember that though the kingdom started off small, it continues to grow. That it grew to include you, and it can grow to include anyone else out there. And I don't care. I'm going to be totally honest with you, okay? Though I don't understand a lot of it, 99.8% of it, I don't understand. You know, careful. You know, God loves transgender people, right? Homosexuals, addicts, atheists, agnostics, Muslims. Hindus, Buddhists, you don't care. We shouldn't either. That the kingdom started off like this, but it was big enough to include me, and it's big enough to include them. And that's the church. And I know some of them make it really hard because some of them want to talk really bad about my God, to my face even. But if Jesus can do it, I think I can too. If he can take all that he took and not say a word, I think I can do it too. It might be hard. I might be holding a lot of them back. A lot of words that I'm keeping to myself. But the most important words are, man, I just hope you know that God loves you. That's it. I want you to be reminded. Put your kingdom, I'm just going to call it the kingdom. Put your kingdom somewhere that will help you remember. On your desk, on your dash, I don't care. Just keep it somewhere. Tie a string on it. Put it around your neck. Somewhere that you will be reminded about the kingdom. How small it started, but how big it's grown. And how much bigger it can get. Because we've got to remember that the kingdom is big enough to hold everybody. Because the Bible says that he died for all. All. And if it wasn't big enough to hold all them, he would have said, hey, there's a cutoff. Right here. But he never said that. So it's big enough for all of us. I'm going to close and I'm going to pray that we would remember and be reminded about the kingdom daily. Every moment of every hour to one, be a part of the kingdom. And two, to be the kingdom and to see the kingdom. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we are here together, gathered in your name. That, Father, you are with us and for us. And God, I pray right now that that everyone here is a part of your kingdom. And Father, I pray that as a part of the kingdom, we would become kingdom-minded, where we would think about how we can continue to help the kingdom grow in small ways and in big ways, God, from beginning until end. Lord, that we would know that our mission is to help the kingdom grow. That would help to guide us in our everyday life, in our everyday thoughts and actions and Lord, we would learn to smile at people we don't know and learn to shake hands of people we've never met and be friendly and show your love to all that we come across. That we would not be bitter about anything from the past, any hurts or any failures, God, but we would always be reminded and we would always remember, God, that the kingdom was big enough to include us, but it's still not full. So, Father, help us to be the kingdom, see the kingdom, and grow the kingdom. Thank you, Father. Praise you. Let this mustard seed help us to remember how fast and how big the kingdom can grow. Father, we pray that you would bless us as we leave this place. Keep your hand upon us. Keep us safe. Bring us back here ready to worship you again, God. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.